Our epistle reading this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 13. Hear now the word of the Lord from the book that we love. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. As you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
And would you please join me in a word of prayer? God, our God, we cry out, your beloved needs you now. Draw us near, calm our fears, and speak your word that all may hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A few weeks back, I was at the grocery store, and I knew it was packed with people because I had to park in the back of the lot. And if you have ever been to the grocery store between 5 or 6 p.m. on a weekday, then you know just how busy it can be. People pushing carts clog the aisle, making it difficult to get from one place to the next. A dropped jar of spaghetti sauce closes another. And the line at the meat counter seems to stretch from one end of the building to the other side. And there is always that one slow cart pusher who is almost impossible to overtake. But finally, after navigating what was a moving maze, I got what I needed and I headed to the checkout lane. And every lane was open, which is a good thing, but there were still stacks and stacks of people waiting to pay for their groceries. The express lane seemed to have people with more than 12 items in their basket. The regular lanes were filled with shoppers that had carts overflowing with foodstuffs. The wait was going to be forever, and the poor lady in front of me only wanted to buy a tube of toothpaste. She had one item to buy, and I thought she would be in line for eternity. But that's not what happened. The shopper in front of her saw that she had only one thing to buy, and she politely motioned to the woman with the tube of toothpaste to go in front of her. And as she passed, she said, "Oh, you only have that one item. Please go in front of me. I have more things in my basket for this line than I'm supposed to." So it didn't take as long for her to check out as I thought it might. And that kind of courtesy might seem like a little thing, but it flies in the face of what our culture tells us to prioritize. In the eyes of the world, the most important person is me. Me first, and me always. Horace, the Latin poet, made this point clear. The prioritization of self clear when he said, "Carpe diem," seize the day. And what he meant by that phrase is that a person should do what they want when they want. In other words, the most important thing in life is me, and I should always come first. Forget about tomorrow and instead do what you want to do today. And sometimes we think and act that way without even realizing it. Someone zips in front of another car just to make sure they get through the light. And people line up at 3 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to make sure they're first to get into the store and receive the Black Friday sales. And some people grab an extra slice of pizza, not because they're hungry, but because they don't want to be shortchanged. And people chatter on about themselves and what they've accomplished without listening to their friends and family share about their own day. People focus on themselves, and that worldview, that way of thinking, is reinforced by our culture. Carpe diem. Or for people of a certain generation, YOLO. So how rare is it that someone in line at the grocery store motions another person in front of them? That kind of self-sacrifice might seem like a little thing, but it is exactly the point being made in verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lead a life worthy of God. To lead a life worthy of God means our focus isn't inward, always placing ourselves first. Rather, our focus is on God and what God has called us to. Purity, uprightness, and blamelessness. Instead of seizing the day and placing ourselves first, we place God first. We seek after the kingdom of God, and that means we look for those who need help and we extend to them a generous hand. We listen to those who lament and we attune our ears to their cries. We journey with those who are struggling and we share God's gifts with them. We search for the broken and we work towards healing with them. We identify systems of injustice and we strive to right the wrongs that have been committed. As Christians, we lead a life worthy of God, and that life is a visible life. It's visible by the things we do, our very selfless acts. And so we respond to God's call on our life by determining to live selflessly, always pressing on towards the goal of purity, uprightness, and blamelessness. Our determination, unfortunately, isn't enough. No matter how strong we are, no matter how hard we work at placing God before all things and people before us, we don't do it perfectly. We are human, and to be human means we are broken. Sin has disrupted the way that we see life and interact with one another. So it's as if we have glasses on, but the problem with our glasses is that they are the wrong prescription. Our view of the world is distorted, causing us to act in selfish ways. And so we try to skip a spot in the checkout lane just because we want to get home earlier. However, the glasses that we wear are corrected to the proper prescription in Jesus Christ. Through the lens of Christ, we see the world as it is, and by the power of God's word at work in us, we place God first. So despite our brokenness, often seeing the world through lenses of selfishness, God's word is at work in us, empowering us to act on behalf of one another, helping us to tend to one another with the gentle care of a nurse. To place God and others before us is counter to what the world says we ought to be doing with our lives. As Christians, we lead a life worthy of God, which is inherently countercultural. So we let the lady with the one tube of toothpaste go before us because God has called us to see the world through his eyes, selfless eyes. We don't do this alone. God's word is at work in us, shaping us, empowering us, directing us, and changing us. In the eyes of Christians, the most important person is Jesus Christ. Jesus first, and Jesus always. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I invite you to join with me in a moment of prayer as we pray for our church, for our community, and for all of creation. Please join me in that prayer. Eternal God, we give you thanks for the founders of your church, for those whom you have called and formed in the image of your Son, for those who have suffered and died for their faith. We thank you for the cloud of witnesses. We give you thanks for the reformers of your church, for their rediscovery of truth and their eagerness to live simply, for their faithful study of your word, for their endeavor to serve their neighbor. We thank you for the cloud of witnesses. God of our forebears, give us the courage and wisdom of the saints who have gone before us. Form us in the image of your Son. Renew your Holy Spirit's work in our generation, in our church, in our community, and in all of creation. May we live and serve under the rule of Jesus Christ until your reign comes again. Amen.